How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Today, we are joined by Lance Storm. Mike Sempervivi will be back next week on the program. I'm actually here in Calgary. The legendary Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I got Lance here in studio. We're going to be running down the full card for the WWE Battleground pay-per-view, which kicks off at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern. Actually, 6 o'clock here where I am in Calgary. We're going to talk about all the matches on the show. There is a WWE heavyweight title match, obviously a four-way. We've got an Intercontinental title battle royal. We've got Ambrose versus Rollins. All sorts of matches on the program here this evening, so we'll do a full preview of that. And then later on in the program, we've got some news to talk about. There is scheduled to be, at the time that we are recording this program, there is scheduled to be a big TNA announcement they are claiming coming up, and I believe they have used the hashtag SpikeTV. So they are teasing that maybe today they're going to make an announcement about their television future. I, honest to God, don't think that's what's going to be. I could be wrong, but it would be very unusual for a company to make a major announcement about, say, a television deal for the fall on a Sunday afternoon. So I would presume this is something involving the Impact show, some sort of angle or storyline. But who knows? There's been a lot of talk about Spike over the last couple of days, particularly with the Vince Russo situation coming out, which we might talk about later on in this program. So obviously, a lot of stuff to get into today. Later on tonight, Lance and I will also be back only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com with a full Backlash recap show, Battleground recap show. So anyway, a lot of stuff to get into. Back in just a moment after the first commercial break. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined today by Lance Storm, popular guest at WrestlingObserver.com, also the head of the Storm Wrestling Academy here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, where we are broadcasting from this week. Here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio. Try Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208. We stream live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, the TuneIn Radio app, the Sirius Satellite Radio app, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network. This is the most listened to wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And today we are previewing the WWE Battleground show. Lance is here in studio today. I'm actually in Lance's studio, believe it or not. Lance, how's it going?
It's going tremendous.
Great.
Always good to be here with you live on Wrestling Observer Live.
At Lance's school, I was there yesterday. He's got, I guess, was it your students that made the list of the top 10 Lance Storm sayings?
Yeah, it was one class. They did up the banner for me.
Did they have tremendous on there?
I believe they did, yes.
Yes, that's good. I was surprised that... I mentioned yesterday, it doesn't have perfect anywhere on there, but you noted that that is a term you never use in class.
Very seldom, if ever, yes. Although the tremendous line is actually borrowed from my good friend Don Callis, who was, I guess he was Don Callis in TNA, he was Cyrus in ECW.
That's right.
And he was the Jackal in WWE.
Mm-hmm. He always used tremendous?
He did, and I stole it from him.
Yeah, there you go. We're here to talk about Battleground. We'll be watching the show here in a few hours, and let's kick off with the preview. I have got the card in front of me, and I have also got the latest odds, the betting odds in front of me, and we did a show last night on the website, and we did a quick preview of the show, and when we went over the odds, they have already changed from last night. Now, granted, there was a period where whatever the odds makers predicted, that was exactly how the show was going to go. That is no longer the case. The odds makers have been wrong. You shouldn't read too much into these odds, but they have been correct in the past, so we're going to go over them here. Let's start with the main event. It is Cena, Kane, Orton, and Roman Reigns in a fatal four-way for the WWE World Heavyweight title. Who is winning this match, Lance?
I think John Cena is. I think we're just on the road to SummerSlam. I don't see any point in switching the title at this point, so I'm going with John Cena.
Cena is the favorite here. He is listed as minus 1,000 as we speak. Roman Reigns is plus 400. Randy Orton and Kane are both, actually, Randy Orton is minus 2,000, I'm sorry, plus 2,000, and Kane is plus 2,500. So the odds makers are suggesting that John Cena is going to win. Obviously, the main event for SummerSlam is still scheduled to be John Cena and Brock Lesnar. The one interesting thing is that John Cena is going to be filming a movie. And he is going to be missing two of the four Raws leading to SummerSlam, and that includes tomorrow's Raw. So if John Cena retains the title tonight, he is not even on Raw tomorrow at all. So I guess you could predict that maybe John Cena is not going to retain, because do they really want to head into SummerSlam without a champion for two of the 4 weeks? I guess we shall see, but... I do predict Cena wins, but I suppose anything can happen.
I wouldn't be surprised if Brock Lesnar shows up and gives Cena a reason not to be there on Monday.
So Cena wins and then Brock F5s him?
Certainly possible.
Hmm. I guess you could do that. I kind of was under the impression Brock wouldn't be there until tomorrow, but I guess if they've found out that Cena won't be there tomorrow, maybe they'll bring Brock in a day early and have him F5 him. There you go. Roman Reigns is the runner-up, so to speak, in the odds here. So I guess they're figuring if they do take the title off Cena, most likely it'll go to Roman Reigns. But I don't think they're doing that tonight. Obviously, Roman Reigns as champion at WrestleMania is going to be the direction over the next 8 months or so. So that's kind of where they're going there. Also on the show, it is the match we did not preview last night. A 20-man battle royal for the vacant Intercontinental Championship. We've got Alberto Del Rio, Big E Langston, Bo Dallas, Cesaro, Curtis Axel, Diego, believe it or not, of the Matadors, Dolph Ziggler, Fandango, Heath Slater, Kofi Kingston, Rob Van Dam, Truth, Ryback, Sheamus, Sin Cara, Great Khali, Miz, Titus O'Neil, Xavier Woods, and Zack Ryder. Your prediction.
There's 20 people there. I'm still going to go with Antonio Cesaro. I was feeling a lot more sure of that up until the last couple weeks, but to me, him or Big E Langston, and I'm going to go with Cesaro.
No Zack Ryder?
Nope.
Man.
And no Diego.
No Diego? Yeah, I would expect Cesaro to win the title. It's funny because a few months ago, they put the Intercontinental title on Wade Barrett, and they chose Wade Barrett over Cesaro because they thought that putting the Intercontinental title on Cesaro would bring him down. So interesting that now that poor Wade Barrett is out of action, they may actually put that belt on Cesaro.
They just waited to bring him down first.
That's right. What do you think of this booking strategy they've had of late? Of a guy is going to win a secondary title, or even the main title, and so you beat him 9,000 times leading into him winning the championship.
9,000 is a bit heavy, but yeah, I don't like it, but it seems to be very common. If there's going to be a heel face turn or a title win, they seem to think that that's a reset button, so what you do in the interim doesn't matter, but I don't agree with that. I think you need to make people mean more and mean titles mean more, and I don't think just throwing a title on someone negates everything you've done before that.
Well, they've always sort of done that when a guy's going to turn. Like if a guy's going to turn face or heel, they beat him a couple of times before the face turn because they do consider that a reset. But to me, winning a title should not be a reset. Like, you know what I mean? If you're going to become the champion, you should be on a long winning streak prior to winning. You could maybe lose one if you're going to set up like, let's say they're going to put the title on you. And so right before you win it, I beat you once, because when you win the title, we're going to have a program. That at least makes sense. But when you're being beaten by like 10 guys, and you know they're not going to do Kofi Kingston versus Cesaro as a title program, I mean, I just don't understand why you would do that unless you're trying to make the belt and the guy meaningless.
Yeah, I think you could probably get away with it more back when belts meant a lot and winning a title could make the guy. But I think at this point in time, especially the secondary titles, they don't mean enough. It's better a situation where you're going to need the guy to make the title, I think, nowadays, at least with the U.S. or IC championship. So I think you're better off to get someone with a lot of steam and then put the title on him to help reestablish the title more than the other way around.
Alrighty. In the odds, what do the odds makers say about this Intercontinental Championship Battle Royal here? There are a lot of names.
Well, since there's 20 people, doesn't everybody have a 5% chance?
Not according to these odds makers. Cesaro is the favorite. He's at a minus 150. Also in the running, according to the odds makers, are The Miz, who is plus 225, and Bo Dallas, believe it or not, who is plus 300. They've also got Sheamus at plus 900, and then it falls off a cliff from there. All the way down to Zack Ryder, The Great Khali, and Sin Cara, all of whom are plus 5,000. So virtually zero chance of any of them. Believe it or not, Diego is listed here as having a better chance than Zack Ryder. He's only plus 4,000. So there you go. Cesaro, what about Bo Dallas? Would you put the title on him?
I wouldn't be surprised with Bo Dallas or Miz, actually, in hindsight, now that you mentioned it. Especially with the, I don't know, what is he, 12 and Bo or 14 and Bo, whatever he's up to now. I know it's not a singles match, so they could ignore it if they want to, but when you're doing an undefeated streak, it's always best if you actually don't lose anything. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went with Bo Dallas. And at the end of the day, it's the Intercontinental title, unfortunately, so it doesn't matter too much.
That's right. And The Miz is getting that push, so I mean, they could if they wanted to do something with him as well. But that is the those are the odds for the Intercontinental Championship Battle Royal. We are going to head to a break, and when we come back, we will continue our WWE Battleground preview. We've got the Bray Wyatt Chris Jericho match, AJ Lee Page, and a lot more. So back in just a moment, everybody. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Lance Storm, popular guest at WrestlingObserver.com, head of the Storm Wrestling Academy. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, doing a Battleground preview here. WWE Battleground kicking off at 8 Eastern this evening. Lance and I will be back later on tonight, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, with a Battleground post-show, talking about all the matches, who beat who, where they're going, all that good stuff. And Lance, your thoughts on Bray Wyatt versus Chris Jericho? They're obviously doing a program. Who wins the first match?
I'm actually going to predict a non-finish in this one.
Really?
I don't like beating Bray Wyatt. Jericho has not fared well over the last couple weeks. So I think there's actually going to be a non-finish, whether it be Wyatt family involvement or just a, and by non-finish, I would even say if it's a DQ, which is very indecisive, it just happens and they brawl, I consider that a non-finish. Because at the end of the day, if it's just a DQ and a brawl, it doesn't really matter which person's being DQ'd. I don't expect a decisive winner in this at all.
Well, the odds makers have Bray Wyatt at minus 700, so they consider him the big favorite. And again, as you noted, you don't know what minus 700 means. Does that mean the Wyatt family runs in and costs Jericho the match? Does that mean that, I don't know what, that could mean any sort of finish. It could mean Bray pinning him. Who knows? But obviously, this will lead somehow into SummerSlam, as this is scheduled to be a long-running program. Should be a good match. I would be surprised if it were not. When you look up and down at the show and you look at all the matches, I mean, the Battle Royal will probably be fun. The four-way will probably be good. This match looks like it's going to be good. Usos and the Wyatts always have a good match. Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, I would be stunned if that were not a good match. Even AJ and Paige and Swagger and Rusev, if they do them right, those could be good matches as well. So it looks like it could be like a good in-ring wrestling show. What are your thoughts on AJ and Paige? Do they put the title back on Paige?
I don't see the point in doing that. I'm not a fan of flip-flopping championships. So I could see AJ retaining and perhaps Paige doing the official turn and no longer being frenemies, but being full-blown enemies.
Oh, man. Yep, AJ's a favorite, minus 700 over Paige, plus 400. So that's where they're looking there. We've got the Usos and the Wyatt family. As noted, these guys have wrestled about 9,000 times. So that has built up to a pay-per-view where they will wrestle three times on one show. It is a best of three falls match. Usos versus the Wyatts. I think they're doing a title change. I think they probably should have done a title change. I guess it doesn't really matter. I would have done the tag title change last month. But it's close. The betting lines are close. Wyatts minus 450. They are the favorites, but the Usos plus 300. Not a blowout. What do you think happens here?
I'm surprised that it's a 2 out of 3. I didn't know that, and I watch Raw regularly, so I don't know where I missed that one. I think it's time for the Wyatts. This program has gone on quite a while. It's always been good, though, so I have no doubt that this is going to be a great match and a lot of fun, but I'd go with the Wyatts.
Yes, this is a best of three falls match.
Sort of the old traditional European rules for the Samoans and the people from the bush.
Yes. I don't even know why it's best of three. There was like no good explanation for it, except that since they've wrestled so many times, they're just going to do three more matches here on this show.
And I don't disagree with that. When you've basically been trading wins back and forth, you know, the Usos will get one, the Wyatts will get one. So at least this, if you're going to do it as the final one, it's like, okay, they're just going to have the best of three, for lack of a different description of a 2 out of 3 falls match, and sum it up once and for all. So I'm fairly confident there'll be a title change tonight.
What if they do just two straight falls for the Wyatts? Put them over big.
I'm perfectly fine with that. I think it would lead to a good surprise reaction in the second fall, and sometimes it's good to surprise people.
We've got the Dean Ambrose-Seth Rollins match here, and I'm actually looking on Wikipedia. This has probably been corrected by the time everyone's listening to this, but they have made a big mistake here. They had the Dean Ambrose-Seth Rollins match, and listed underneath, they've got Jack Swagger versus Rusev, and they accidentally put Zeb Coulter with Dean Ambrose and Lana with Seth Rollins.
Well, it makes Seth Rollins happy, wouldn't it?
I sure would. Who do you predict in Ambrose and Rollins?
I'm leaning towards Ambrose, and I expect this not only to be good, but I expect this match to quite probably steal the show. I've really been enjoying Ambrose of late. He hasn't been faring well as far as getting the better hand, so I'm hoping for Ambrose. I'm not positive on that by any stretch of the imagination, but I expect this to be the match of the night.
So last night, the odds were even, and as of this morning, one odds maker has Dean Ambrose a favorite, minus 137 to Seth Rollins plus 100, and another one has Dean at minus 125 and Seth at minus 110. So essentially, still probably a pick-em match. I mean, to me, particularly this match, since they're also going to be feuding for a while, it really doesn't matter who wins the first match. Whoever wins the first match is almost certainly losing the second match, and then the blow-off match will be whoever they decide to put over at the time. But I expect this match to be great, and hopefully these guys can deliver big and get the time to deliver big. But that should be really good. And then Swagger and Rusev, for real, with Zeb Coulter and Lana. Who wins this match? Is there any chance of Swagger getting a win and ending Rusev's streak?
I don't think so. I certainly wouldn't be upset. Just that how into this program the crowd has been of late. I think a lot of people were surprised how well it's gotten over. And the new American hero, Jack Swagger, has gotten over. But I expect them to still stick with Rusev. It may not be as decisive as originally planned, or even perhaps as short as originally planned, because how well Zeb and Swagger have gotten over. But I still, when you've got an undefeated streak and you're really pushing somebody, you don't want to just give that up too early.
You know, they've got Rusev here as a heavy favorite, but not like, you know, minus 5,000 or anything like that. He's minus 600. So I think that there is some thought that maybe you could do a disqualification or a count out, give Swagger some sort of win. I still expect Rusev to beat him. I do like the idea. I think Todd brought this up that, you know, they have a great match. Rusev beats him, but you push the idea that, man, Swagger almost got him next time. And then, of course, next time he still doesn't get him. But my question to you is, so I think when they first set this match up, I think the idea was it was just going to be a short-term thing leading to a quick blow-off at this pay-per-view, and then they move in another direction for Rusev. And the reason I say that is because all of their house show matches were like 2 minutes long. You know, Rusev just went in there, obliterated him, and beat him. And I think that because of how their segment went on Raw, I think they've kind of decided maybe this thing has a little bit of legs. So maybe we can send it through SummerSlam. I mean, me personally, especially with Rusev, I mean, I would always have Rusev doing long matches on the road. I don't see any point in having him go in there and squash somebody in 2 minutes. You know, the road is where a guy learns to work. And he's a guy that he still has a ways to go. So I'm a little surprised that they did 2 minute matches on the road with him.
Yeah, me too. Unless there was a nagging injury that they decided to let one of them sort of heal a little bit on the road, or if there was other extenuating circumstances. But yeah, when you're new, bring it up to the roster. It's good to get those minutes in when you can.
Then we've got the opener, the illustrious opener of this pay-per-view. It is Cameron versus Naomi. Can you believe that the Funkadactyls have been together for so long? They finally break up, and their first ever singles match is on the pre-show?
I find that easy to believe. There's been a lot of stuff on the pre-show, and I suspect that this angle is quite probably going to be played out far more on Total Divas than it is on regular WWE television, so I would imagine the majority of this is going to be seen on Total Divas.
Naomi minus 250, Cameron plus 175.
So actually, with we're in Canada today, so we have to watch this traditional pay-per-view means because the network doesn't work up here. So we're not going to be able to see this match.
I don't think so. I mean, I guess we can watch it later. Apparently, the pre-show will be on YouTube as well. So maybe we can find it later on YouTube. But yes, as far as traditional pay-per-view, how does the pre-show work up here? You haven't actually bought a pay-per-view in forever, so you wouldn't know, right?
Yeah, with the exception of WrestleMania a couple of years, the last WWE or any wrestling pay-per-view I've purchased would have been the Montreal Bret Hart Shawn Michaels. And actually, I didn't purchase that. I went to a bar in town that a friend of mine managed and watched it.
So the last pay-per-view you've seen was 1997's Screwjob.
Seen live, non-WrestleMania, yes.
I see. Tell me, we got about a minute and a half here. What was the reaction to that finish in the bar you were watching in?
It was amazing. There was a lot of people that were just, you know, shocked and staring around. And I think a lot of people were looking at me because they knew I wrestled, because there were people that, when I used to bounce in the bar and when I first started wrestling, so there was a lot of my friends that knew I was wrestling, because I would have been in ECW at the time. So I wouldn't have been a big, television star up here. But there was a lot of people looking at me with, was that real? Was that what happened? And it was shocked silence. And obviously, I watched it in Canada because I was here in town. So a lot of oh my gods because of Brett. And the only reason that I specifically went out of my way to see this show was I was half expecting, or perhaps maybe just sort of hoping that Brett was going to shoot on him and we'd see a real fight.
Well, we didn't see a real fight, but we did see, I don't know if you'd call it a shoot. But it certainly was not a worked finish, that's for sure. Or maybe it was. I guess it depends on what you consider a worked finish. They worked somebody there. All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. We'll talk more about this when we come back, and we've got some news to recap here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Lance Storm. Here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, we are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, and for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, always head to WrestlingObserver.com. We have daily news updates. Dave will be doing front page play-by-play of the Battleground pay-per-view, and If you are a subscriber, you will get to hear both Dave and Mike Sempervivi and myself and Lance doing recap shows tonight after the pay-per-view. It's only $10.99 a month. You get full access to usually two brand new radio shows every single day, plus our full archives. We have about 5,000 radio shows in the archives dating back to 2005. You will never run out of wrestling audio as a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. And as noted, myself and Lance will be back tonight running down all of the matches on the pay-per-view. So you can look forward to that. Sign up today and check that out tonight. And we were, before the break, talking about Lance's trip to the bar. He was there watching the Montreal Screwjob. And, I mean, when you saw it, Lance, did you think it was a double cross, or what did you think happened?
It's been a while now, but I believe I did think it was a legitimate double cross at first. But for years after that, when I had a chance to think about it, I thought it was a work for sure. I wrote several articles about it, and it wasn't until I actually met Brett for the first time, which would have been in 2000 in WCW, and had a conversation with him that you could tell it was a pretty deep-rooted thing with him, and at that point in time, I believed it was a legit double cross.
Now, there is a TNA announcement that has been promised for later on today. It has not been made as of the time that we are recording this in studio. The word has gotten out, Lance, about TNA and Vince Russo, and how Vince Russo has, in fact, been working for the company. He has denied it publicly. He has since admitted that he has been working for the company. He is claiming as a consultant, and the word is that Spike was none too happy with this news. And I don't know. There's a lot to this story. I don't know why. If you had business partners, I know that the Japanese were not big fans of Vince Russo because of comments he'd made in WCW back in the late 90s. And TNA is working with the Japanese in Wrestle 1. And in fact, they're going to Japan for Bound for Glory. So you've got the Japanese, you've got Spike TV, you've got many of the wrestlers who have not been big fans of Vince Russo. I mean, the question is, why, if you are Dixie Carter, do you employ Vince Russo with so many people not fans of Vince Russo?
You're asking me that? I have no idea why Dixie Carter would do that. I've been very outspoken as my distaste for his booking style, if you will. But yeah, it seems I'm a big fan of honesty when you're conducting business, and when your business partners don't want something and you do, you either man up and tell them, well, this is what I'm doing, and you honestly say, I'm employing Vince Russo and this is why, and live with the consequences. You don't go and lie about it. Even better yet, you listen to those business partners who have stakes in your business to an extent and go, well, maybe perhaps Vince Russo isn't the answer to solving my TNA problems, if you will.
It's just baffling that this whole thing comes down and they are less than 3 months away from their TV deal coming due. I mean, it's crazy to think. I don't know what's going to happen. TNA's got their announcement today. Maybe they're going to announce that they have signed a 3-year renewal with Spike TV. I don't know. But if they don't announce a renewal today, I mean, it's all people are going to be thinking about. The idea that, man, can you imagine if they didn't get a renewal because of Vince Russo? And here we are going down the exact same path in a different way that the WCW went down, where despite all of the evidence that he didn't know what he was doing in his first run, they brought him back for a second run. And in that second run, man, when Russo was done with WCW, there was just no hope. And now here we are, 2014, and theoretically, if they don't sign a renewal with Spike, because Spike found out that they were lying to them about Vince Russo's involvement, I mean, just an amazing... just an amazing story that he could be the doom of not one, but two companies.
And if there's a third company that starts up, they'd probably still hire him, because for some reason, people seem to keep hearkening back to people that had experience in the business during the Attitude Era.
I just, I mean, we've talked about this on other shows before, Lance, but What has your personal experience been with Vince Russo in the past as a member of creative?
I only had a few dealings with him in WCW, and he seemed like a guy that had a whole bunch of ideas but didn't truly understand why things were done the way they were done in wrestling. He knew that title changes produced ratings, so let's do lots of those.
Sure.
He was a huge proponent of comedy. Didn't seem to think that things needed to make sense, as a few of the conversations I had with him dealing with Team Canada, which he originally wanted to be the Canadian World Organization, because he thought it would be funny if I didn't know it was supposed to be New World Order and got it wrong. And to that I responded how stupid I would have to be to not know what the biggest wrestling angle was in the company that I worked for. And when he said, yeah, but it'd be funny, I responded to, well, when did Team Canada become, or my group or me, become a comedy act? To which he had no answer and finally caved in and let me call them Team Canada instead of the Canadian World Organization.
The Canadian World Organization.
Yes, because it'd be funny that I got the name wrong.
Hey, but hey, you ended up with three titles out of it.
I did, although I was always told that that was actually on a bet that Russo, and I don't know this 100% true, that Vince Russo didn't have any ideas for me because I was just a wrestler. And Johnny Ace said, if you give him to me for 6 weeks, he'll be the hottest heel we have. And I was told Vince Russo said, oh, yeah, sure, go ahead and try. And then my WCW push for that brief period of time happened, and I did have a fair bit of heat as a heel. I don't know if I was the hottest heel they had, but I was certainly up there.
I love that Johnny Ace's idea to make you the hottest heel involved having you win a lot of matches and get all of the belts.
And also to play the anti-American card.
Well, sure,
which always
sure
works.
But my point is, like, and this is not a knock on anything. It's just my point is that, yeah, when you do things logically, it works.
Yeah, and you want to get someone over, winning and being pushed as a serious threat always helps.
Exactly. It's kind of like we were talking about Jack Swagger and Rusev. And Vinny was noting that, you know, this is the first time they've ever really pushed Jack Swagger as an American hero. And can you even imagine it's Jack Swagger that's getting this sort of reaction on Raw? And my thought was, well, listen, when you don't fixate on trying to do something new and different, and you just focus on a simple storyline that's always going to work, you get success, which is exactly what, I mean, there's nothing easier than the American versus the evil Russian, especially nowadays. I mean, it's such an easy storyline, and everybody played their roles great, and look at what a huge deal it was on Raw.
Yeah, and I think the important thing is neither Zeb nor Swagger, or Rusev for that matter, were portrayed as fools or heading out for the joke.
No. I mean, there is a place for some comedy in wrestling.
Absolutely.
Obviously. But there's also a place where there should not be comedy, and it's usually the main event.
Yeah, or the money-drawing programs. But I think comedy is better when it's a funny situation that someone ends up in, a la Jim Cornette getting his face stuffed in a cake, or something like that, rather than someone out acting silly where you become the joke. That's when you run into really damaging a character, when he's portrayed as a joke and we're to laugh at him.
I also think, and you would know this better because you've watched far more movies than I have, I'm sure, but you can have a very, very, very serious movie, and invariably, at some point in the movie, somebody's going to say something funny, or something is going to happen that is funny. And if you pick your spots, so to speak, you can make this work. I mean, even in the most serious scenario, you can insert a little bit of comedy. It's when the comedy is when you try and do a 2-hour show and you want people laughing the whole time. I mean, it's impossible. You'll never do it. It kills the show. A little bit of well-placed comedy can work anywhere. But when you try to fixate on the comedy and making everything funny and making it over the top funny, it's just too much.
Well, I think Steve Austin did it well. When your hero is witty and says
sure.
something funny, it doesn't damage the credibility. But when you go Lucille Ball funny, where you're acting stupid and we laugh at you, then I don't think that does well, and it damages the credibility of the people involved in the angle. But if it's the hero being witty or the heel doing something inadvertent that creates a funny situation, then comedy can be a really important part of the show.
And on that note, actually, we did watch this past Thursday's Impact, and there will always be some little Impact problems here and there that they have. But overall, this was a much better show.
Yeah, there wasn't, other than Spud being a bit of a goof, which is his gimmick, so that's fine. There wasn't a lot of comedy. There was a lot of wrestling, and a lot of the wrestling was actually quite good. On the whole, I gave the show a thumbs up.
It was a better balance. You know, they had some wrestling, and then they had a segment, and then they had a wrestling match, and then they had a segment, and then maybe an angle, and then a wrestling match. Much better balance than some of those shows they did a while back where you had like 8 talking segments in a row.
Yes, and for the most part, the winner of each match seemed to have a purpose and was, you know, done on, you know, for a reason.
Sure. What do you think of Lashley as champion?
I'm fine with it. I think he's a fresher face. I think he's very impressive looking and has credibility. And I think they're actually booking him really smart in that putting him over really strong. Not every time does the heel have to cheat to win. Sometimes if you want to really establish somebody as being worth paying attention to, you got to make him strong. So I'm liking that they're doing strong things with him. I think it's nice that I don't think Bobby Lashley, because he's been gone so long, has a real, hey, he's a former WWE guy feel to him as much. So I like that it's not just a WWE retread, for lack of a different term. But he seems a little bit more independent because it's been so long since he was in WWE, and his run in WWE was fairly short.
All right, we got about 90 seconds left, so I want your answer to this question. In about 11 days, we are going to get the WWE Network number as of June 30th. Their first subscriber number was 667,000. The feeling is that if they can announce 850,000, that will be an acceptable number because they're well on their way to a million at the end of the year. I am predicting about 750,000 or so. What is your official prediction for the WWE Network as of June 30th?
I'm predicting 750 or below, just based off the fact that there hasn't been, other than WrestleMania, the Hall of Fame, you know, the Warrior documentary, the Daniel Bryan documentary, which were all at the beginning, I don't think there's been a big selling point to the network since. So in 6 months, I think 10% growth without a new hook is fairly reasonable, or at least an optimistic number. So I'm predicting they come in at a bit under 750 just because I don't see growth of more than 10% without a hook.
Well, I do know from looking at our own website subscription business, we grow year to year, but we don't have gigantic 30% increases year to year like WWE is expecting. They got a huge boost around WrestleMania. And the idea that they're going to do 667 and then a few months later do 850 and then a few months later do a million, I honest to God think there's 0% chance of that happening. But the big number's coming out July 31st, so we will know very soon. Back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Lance Storm, Storm Wrestling Academy, here in beautiful Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And Lance, you've got class tomorrow, the last week of class. Is that correct?
Yep, last class, last week of this session. We're doing our last promo day tomorrow, which is always fun. And then we'll have a couple more days of matches and then evaluations by Friday.
Do you have any good promos in this particular class?
There was one guy that I thought had some good potential as a promo. The rest are still struggling with being self-conscious on camera, to be perfectly honest, which is fairly common. I would say having one real great standout promo is rare anywhere. I've had a few, probably only a half a dozen standout promos since I've started the school where I go, wow, this dude can really talk. But there isn't, I don't think there's anybody in this group that's, you know, god-awful. It's just there's still a little bit... mechanical and nervous.
I was at Lance's school yesterday, and great school. He's got a beautiful ring. There's a kind of a poster area when you first walk in, and then he's got another area with tons and tons of DVDs. You can go in there and watch matches, watch promos, and that, of course, in addition to the ring and the crash pad. If you are interested in becoming a wrestler, the place to go is stormwrestling.com. You can head up there and get all the information about Lance's Wrestling Academy. Great place to train. One of the best places to train in the entire world. And, of course, Lance has students wrestling all over the world, in fact. Some of whom are in WWE Developmental. Maybe some of them you might see today on the program. So make sure you check out stormwrestling.com. Lance and I are going to be back later on tonight, only at WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to be doing a full rundown of the WWE Battleground pay-per-view, which is starting moments after the show goes off the air. So make sure you head up and check that out, and then check us out later on tonight at WrestlingObserver.com. I will be back tomorrow with Dave as well, talking Raw. So much stuff for subscribers, so sign up today at WrestlingObserver.com. And if not, we will talk to you again next week on the program. Thanks again for listening, everybody. Back next week, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.